All right, it's Liam. I want to thank everyone at the Oasis Podcast, as you were.
Hello and welcome back to the Oasis Podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. Hope you guys are all right. Today is going to be a good episode. We've got a couple of things going on. There's an interview with our good friend Kyle Dale. Kyle from the Oasis Collectors Group, that is. And that is on over on YouTube as well. So if you want to go and check that out, do head over to the Oasis Podcast YouTube channel, where you'll be able to see, you see Kyle's Bittersweet Home head office there with all the merchandise and everything. So that's definitely worth checking out. And over here on the podcast, what I'm going to be doing as well is following the release of Liam Gallagher, John Squire, and also, I suppose, Council Skies as well. It's an updated album ranking. So we're going to be ranking every Gallagher album. So just to clarify, that is all the Oasis albums. That is the two BDI albums, the Liam Gallagher solo, Liam Gallagher, John Squire, and Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds. So hope you guys enjoy that. So that will be coming up shortly. But first off, let's jump over to me with Kyle. Because if you remember last week, this is what I love, when the Oasis podcast kind of becomes a bit of a soap opera. So last week, we had a bit of a cliffhanger, which was I had emailed Matt Morgan. I'd commented on Matt Morgan's post on Patreon to see if he would answer my question. That question related to Kyle and the Oasis Collectors Group. So did he answer it? Let's jump over now to my interview with Kyle, where we hear about that and so much more.
There we go. Hello and welcome back to the Oasis Podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis, our good friend and leader of the OCG, not the organised crime group, but the Oasis Collectors Group. Kyle, mate, how you doing?
Not yet, organised crime. No, good. It depends on how the business goes, doesn't it? I'm okay, yeah. I'm okay. Again, just wanted to just say pretty quickly, I'm wearing sunglasses inside for a health reason. I've had surgery on my eye last week, so I'm not trying to look cool. So, yeah, just before the... I nip that in the bud pretty straight away.
Yeah. No, whereas I typically wear sunglasses inside, that's just because I try and be cool, yeah. Because I haven't got the Manchester accent, so I've got to bring it up some other way.
Yeah. It's good. It's good for looking. The Manchester accent is good for looking cool, but not good when you're trying to get credit at the bank. So it depends what setting you're in. You know what I mean?
but very excited to see Bittersweet Home. So I thought my Supernova Studios looked pretty smart, and I check out Bittersweet Home. I'm like, Jesus, no, actually, yeah, but no, very, very cool. It's all looking very good, mate.
Yeah, I've been in the loft room for got 5 years now, and I needed a second bit, and I got courted for this little unit in the garden sorting out, and I was talking like 10 grand. It's crazy money. But then my dad's a joiner and a total legend, so he came up and did it. We did it together. It's exceeded expectations. On that note, actually, he's just up finishing some decking outside. So if you're only banging outside, it's not the cops going for the OCG. It's my dad putting a gate on. So he's really done me a massive solid with this. It's great. It's great. And it's nice to have display stuff. You know, we'll cover it later on, but I'm looking at trying to do a fan unofficial exhibition in this year for kind of my bits and pieces. So it's nice to see how it looks up all together, you know, all the bits and pieces and what it could be like in June. Of course, it's a separate space. I think upstairs I've just got a bit. Obviously, I used to work in finance, and that was my kind of finance room, my office. And gradually over 5 years, there was less, you know, boards on the wall with documents on and more discs on the wall and more records. And it just didn't become a place where I felt like I could work. Whereas in here, I've got a desk that's made out of a flight case, and it's good for packing orders on and stuff for the website. So it's good. There's storage units up the side there. And yeah, it's perfect. Absolutely perfect. Hopefully it'll encourage more work.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. All good. And it's been a busy old time for you on a number of points, but you were mentioned on last episode because you met up with a few of the guys at the Teenage Cancer Trust gig for Noel, and you had the flag flying as well, which was noticed.
bit cheeky now, but considering I've just had cancer, got over it, and donated quite a lot of money to them recently, I thought, I'll push me luck. But yeah, they're okay with it. Yeah, that TCT gig was the best I've seen, though. The best, honestly. I think that the current band are just so tight and so perfectly grounded together that it makes everything they do now. Just, I mean, the Council Skies is an album. It's actually my favourite solo album he's done, and probably my favourite work he's been involved in since the Masterplan. I love it, absolutely love it. I still listen to it daily now. So to go and see that live so many times this year was great. But we got the VIP box, the thingy. Wasn't gifted and we had to pay a fortune for it. But when you break it down to how many beers you get and the experience, it's well worth it at the Royal Albert Hall. I recommend it, absolutely. But yeah, I just had the brainwave a few weeks before. Thought, could I do something with the, you know, you see flags at gigs all the time. I thought, you know, there'll be people holding stuff up and stuff. Maybe I'll just be a bit cheeky. So yeah, I just had it over the side a couple of times and it seemed to work. I got I think 312 new mailing members in an hour. And,
fantastic.
A few states. Obviously, in between Blossoms and Noel coming on, there was a bit of a spike in activity. I thought, right, okay, that's all I wanted, really, you know, to say hello in a different way. But it's, it worked quite well. It's over there, I feel like, actually. I don't know what I'll do with it next. Maybe put it in the museum if the business does well.
Yeah, all good. And then the other one that that we mentioned to you last week was because just as I recorded the last episode, I just had pinged a reply to Matt Morgan. So Matt Morgan, you know, he said, I'm a patron. And he said, oh, I'm having Noel on. Any questions for him? You know, whoever's question gets the most likes will ask it. And I thought...
Oh, yesterday, yeah. Before I went a bit mental for one stage in the day, I thought, what's happened? Who's what's gone on?
What's James done? But yeah, I was like, so I pinged this question up to him, basically saying, because we know, we've talked about it, that you've got these demos that you've heard, unheard Noel songs from 97, 98, and a few of us in the inner circle have heard them and they're amazing, and you're just like, these need to be out there, right? And and so Noel commented on it, so I'll drop in the clip here.
Oasis Podcast says Kyle from the Oasis Collectors Group has some unheard Oasis demos from 97-98 that we would love to get an official release, as there are some great tunes in there. He even tried to return them to Noel a few years back via management. Is Noel aware of this, and are there any plans for an official release, say, for the Be Here Now 30th anniversary?
He sent me a USB stick, right? He may as well have been sending me a fucking microchip from the future. I don't know what he's expecting me to do with a USB stick.
Right.
And a letter saying that these demos, I haven't listened to the USB stick. It's still in the fucking plastic jiffy bag that he sent it in Hampshire somewhere. If he wants me to listen to it, then he can put them on CD, or unless that is the USB stick. I don't know what these songs are. Mm. I would be sceptical of there being any full songs on there. They might be just a lot of, you know, because sometimes, as I remember, particularly John B.A. now, when everyone had gone to bed, Owen would leave the mics on and I'd sing a verse or a chorus of some tunes, but I don't think there's going to be anything. There'll be a song on there called If We Shadows, for sure. Right. Was it finished? I don't know. Other than that, it doesn't. Do you know what? It doesn't interest me. I got the, and thanks for sending it and all that. I've yet to even listen to it, so it's not something that interests me, if I'm being honest. But if you do want me to listen to it, then send it on a CD, because USB stick, where am I going to put that? I haven't got a laptop.
Yeah. You could ask your children or management.
Well, I could do. That's right. I could do. Yeah, but I'm not going to.
Right, so send him a CD, or, you know, maybe even a little C90 cassette, and he'll pop that in his Walkman.
No, it's better on CD.
It was good to hear, actually, because I did send him a while back. I did speak to him for a contact. It wasn't actually at management, it was through security. I did email management, but I didn't hear back. But they must get this so much. They must get all sorts of nonsense sent to them that I didn't expect anything. But yeah, I got, and he said to just send it to me. And I just didn't feel comfortable sending the DAT tape. Here's another way of putting it. If he didn't know how to use a USB stick, what would he have done with the DAT tape? You know what I mean? You don't get DAT players anymore. So it's kind of good that I didn't send it. But the good thing is it's a disposable USB bin it. You know, I can put it on a CD. But the DAT tape's here, I've still got the copy. I mean, I think probably the best way of doing it is, what did he say again? No, it was I didn't think there were false songs and any good. But I mean, obviously when we was at Rockfield Studios, I played them to you, didn't I, on my phone, and you are they full songs?
There are absolutely full songs. They are full
Are they
songs. There's fucking amazing. And there's a couple of
good?
originals. And then there's a couple where it's like, oh, that bit has then been reused in a different song. So it's not just like, oh, it's cool to have a song. But for me as an
Yeah,
Oasis
a
historian, it's like,
history.
oh, it's really interesting that this verse that ended up in this chorus of this song on the next album. It's all about the genesis of how these things come together, right? And that's fascinating.
Exactly.
So to me, it's like it's not just cool to have a new song, but it's like that piece of Oasis history that we're not aware of.
Yeah, and I think it's there's two elements to doing to trying to put this story. He did say thank you right there. I thought I'd annoyed him when I was listening. I thought, God, he's well pissed off. He's really angry at me. But then he said, you know, thanks for sending it. So it is a case of, you know, I have got it is the best way of putting this. I've been offered nearly 20 grand for that tape and turned it down because I really do feel like it should be in his hands tonight. Now he's got it, I feel better. I feel better that he's got it. I can relax now. I've done my bit. But at the same time, you need to listen to it because it's. Listen, I know other people that are in the band, that have been involved in the band. I won't name them. That I've played them to in person, and they've not heard them before. And said, I remember that being recorded. So these are. I genuinely think it is a lost tape. I really do. And I think it. The key thing is, if he was ever to put a B-side on a reissue or an anniversary, there it is. But the pressure's off now. I feel okay that I've put it back in his hand. If you don't ask Anna to put a USB in, you can ask Anna to do it for him. But what I think I'll do is I'm not going to send it again, and I don't want to be bringing up the past over and over again. If he's wanted to move on and leave it, full respect to that, because what he's doing right now is unbelievably good. So yeah, you don't want to kind of annoy people, do you, and keep pestering on. I think what I'll do is I'll probably just put a little reply up on my social media and leave it at that. And that's done then. But if he wants a CD burning, I can burn a CD as well. You know, it is what it is. But hey, listen, I think now I know it's in his hand, I can just relax a bit now. Because if that people sit and hoard these things for years and years and years, which I can understand if they spent a lot of money on them or they've got them through unusual means. But yeah, these just seem to be quite cool. And I thought, you know, when they've done Don't Stop in the past and they've done a few other, you know, bits and pieces that have come out, I thought it would be quite a good one that it could have as an option down the line. But yeah, we'll just see what happens. I'll put something up this week and then I absolutely will put a full stop under that because I think I feel good that it's arrived in his hands. Sounds good.
Yeah, that was the key thing, wasn't it? They wasn't just kind of picked up by some random and just chucked in a thing, you know, that we know he's got
I
it.
think that's what happened to it. I think it was picked up by someone, chucked in somewhere, and it was in a bag for years. And then it just kind of—I got it by accident, really. And then that could have been gone. And again, I keep putting myself in other people's minds. And if no one's wanting to leave that stuff behind, absolutely fine. However, being a Sweden and sit on the fence, they do keep doing reissues and anniversary packets and stuff like that. So if they're keeping selling albums on. To keep the brand alive and keep things moving. I mean, it's never going to go. The band is never going to disappear ever. But you know, to get a fan to buy a new reissue, it's good filler content, isn't it? It's another reason to plus now that all these little forums that hate me and say just put it on YouTube, I can now say, look, that's why I've not done it because now that I've sent it a while back, and now I can be relieved of all the slagging off.
Yeah, and it is funny that he's gone, oh, there'll be a track on there called If We Shadows. And it's like, no, If We Shadows isn't on there. And no, If We Shadows was released on the Be Here Now session like
That's
from 10 years ago or 8 years ago, or whatever. So it's like he just doesn't even know what's gone out, you know? It's
yeah.
madness.
I suppose he does. I suppose the involvement he'd have in some of the things, it probably is just done by the label now, isn't it? Done by the label with some consultation from so and so, and then it's put together and done out, and that's the way these things work. Fine. So yeah, that's why I chuck it over to the label then, and let them deal with it. But I think yeah, for the 50th time saying it, I just feel good now that it's done. And it's And because that is exactly, that's why I didn't send the DAT tape. I just didn't send it because I just didn't trust it would get there and not sit in a unit and whatnot. So I could even send a Dropbox link or something like that, a Google Drive link, but yeah, the USBs. Someone said yesterday, just tag Matt Morgan in it because he asked the question. So maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll do a private YouTube video to say this. There is one line from each song, something like that, just to ring a bell.
Yeah,
and tag Matt in it and say just show that and they're done. You know, if you want a CD, great. But then I'm literally just going to go over and out. That's it. That's the job done.
No, fair play. Well, in the big one, obviously, you've always got a million things on, but then I suppose the big one that popped up the other day, and I was so happy to see this because it's something that I've wanted to do for years. You know, I put on these live events, and it tended to be, you know, a conversation with Tony McCarroll, conversation with Alan McGee, maybe a band on or two bands on. But my dream was always like I went to Mods Mayday a few times, you know, and you'd have a whole weekender with bands and memorabilia and stuff, and actually to have like an exhibition as well and have all the stuff. That was always the dream. And yeah, and you were on it. So the Salford stuff, right?
Yeah, I think it's one of these things that I've been asked to do for years, not just because I don't just collect Oasis stuff. I collect all sorts of music memorabilia, everything really. I mean, I always have done. I always say the second I moved away from Manchester, I moved to Scotland. Nothing against Scotland, but I really missed home. And I just started buying things that reminded me of being young in Manchester. And that turned into effectively the music memorabilia equivalent of a crack addiction. You know, I just could not stop. But then when you start meeting new people and you start making friends and networking, it's just a fun hobby, isn't it? That middle-aged men who are in the middle of life crisis start to do. But yeah, the exhibition was always people saying, but there's something about self. What's the word I'm looking for? A bit kind of big-headed and show-offy to try and put an exhibition of your stuff on. Yeah, I just felt a bit stupid doing it. But then this year felt quite, I don't know, it's the anniversary. And then, you know, there's a few new things that I've got in that I thought would be quite good to show off. I thought, you know, I'll just do it, see how it goes. You know, I don't want to upset anyone. Ignition, it's a totally unofficial exhibition just of my own stuff, so I won't be using any kind of copyrighted stuff. You know, there won't be any songs being played or anything like that. It's just going to be as down the line as I possibly can. I've taken some legal advice on how to avoid upsetting people, but I would hope they would just see it as fans coming together and appreciating the brand. You know, it's not going to, you know, it's costing a fortune. It's not going to make any money. You know, it's just going to pretty much break even. But it's it'll be really good if it all comes off as planned. Yeah, it's going to be 3 days, Salford Lads Club, raising money for Salford Lads Club. You know, it's half for charity, which always helps. But yeah, it's going to be all right. Yeah, I think we'll have, you know, there won't be any of these songs played there. For example, the first question everyone says is, are you going to play any of the unheard songs there? No, you know, I'm trying to keep on the right side of the people that matter. And I just want to show that as a fan. Because actually, that's the way to think about it. And that's the reason people enjoy these sort of videos. There's so much stuff. It's like the Beatles. You know, there's so much stuff that comes with every release, a promo item, a vinyl, a this, that, you know. And then it's stepped up a level in the last couple of years that we've got guitars have appeared and flight cases and amps and all sorts. So there's going to be a lot of that stuff on there. Because it's not just me. It's not just my stuff. There's other people involved that are putting in guitars, amps, cases, drum kits, as a fan experience, because that's what I want to say it as. It's not an exhibition, it's an experience. It'll be, you'll walk in and you'll feel like, wow, we've never seen anything like this before. You know, we've never seen this many band-owned guitars and drum kits from band members and, you know, flight cases and all. It'd be good. An exhibition can sometimes be, I did something for Factory Records a few years back, and it was an exhibition they did, and they asked me to lend them my Factory collection, which I did, and it was a bit boring. You know, it's just, you know, I feel like sometimes when you go to these things, it's like an art gallery, really. You walk on a wall full of prints, and you will stand and look at every print, and you'll pull that face, that I'm interested face, but really you're not. That once you get past that 5 or 6, you're like, oh, I just want to go for a beer now. Whereas I think keeping it varied, short bursts, time essence displays, but you know, the cover of Supersonic, for example, you know, it's all messy, and there's like amps and there's guitars and a Rogue, and I want to try and put a display together that kind of in that ilk. Mm-hmm. And then there's a stage, so I can put some stuff on the stage, and it's good. I've got a few Q&A's on a Sunday. There's Nick Bryan's coming down from Rockfield and doing kind of similar to what we did last time. And I don't know if you've been following this stuff, but he's got the boys at Sahaja, you know, the band he's signed.
Yeah.
They just happened to be in the UK at that time and get on quite well with them boys. So they're going to come down and close it off with a little acoustic set of their material on the Sunday. Brian's doing a Q&A for Microdot. So it's going to be, yeah, like I say, an experience rather than just walking in and looking at the walls. If it all goes to plan, it'd be good. I need to go to plan. I need to not upset anybody. And I need to not get divorced. Because what I've realised is there is a reason there are teams that organise exhibitions, not one person sat in the garage. I'm bogged under at the moment. I'm just hoping to survive it.
No, fair enough. Mate, I tell you, just from putting on like the Water Rats and things like that I did, you know, we met at, it was so much hassle, like, and that's the thing. And I also added in that I sang with my band as well and things like that. So not in the Glasgow one, in the London one, adding booking the bands and booking the things. So yeah, I can absolutely appreciate the, you know, it's a complete hassle, but yeah, mate, exactly that for me. I mean, obviously it'd be great to see all the stuff, the Q&As and things, that was always the struggle for me. Cause it was like, people don't realize, they're like, oh, why don't you do like Brian Cannon and Alan McGee and Tony McCarroll? That would be great. It's like, okay, would you want to pay £50 a ticket? You know, because that's the thing, you just cannot, you can't make it work.
I've had that, yeah. I've looked at the price point, and I had some guy on the internet was like, he's ripping fans off. He shouldn't be charging for a ticket for this. And get to bed. The kids need food. You know, well, things cost money. You know, and literally, I've worked out the ticket price at £20 each. And the only reason I put it at that is because that gets me what I need to pay for all the costs. The venue itself was £4,000. Security was over £2,000 just for someone to sit outside in a van overnight. You know, everything adds up. Everything adds up. Display cases, Jesus Christ. Oh, my Lord. I don't know what's going on. Is this famous glass? Display cases, we're talking £6,000.
I'm like, we're in the wrong business, mate.
To rent them, I said, cocaine dealers need to get rid of that. Get on the glass display cases, make a fortune. I just think you just don't expect it all until you really write it down and you see the spreadsheet and you go, yeah, this is scary. And my missus, you know, one of the bits, cool woman, she's Scottish and she's tight as hell with money. And honestly, I can't get anything out of cupboards. It's all for the kids. I'm outside eating grass in the garden, and she's seeing this spreadsheet, and she's like, yeah, what are you playing at? I'm like, listen, I think it can work. But listen, if it doesn't break even, whatever, if I have to spend some money to do this, I think it'll be good. I mean, there's no beating around the bushes there. I've started this company, and it's my passion. I enjoy it. And it's just a good way of promoting, doing events that are good for people. And I try to do everything with an element of charity in there as well, everything.
Yeah.
So this thing from the Salford Lads Club, times are hard these days for people in general. So TCT were telling me the donations were massively down last year. I suspect that's why there's a massive push on things at the moment. You know, they've got some amazing things for sale on their website. I've just got a new order and Paul Weller print on the way. That should arrive today or tomorrow, actually. They've got so much good stuff on there. But TCT have got that reach that they're able to pull the artists in and say, right, guys, what can we do? Mm. Someone like Salford Lads Club, they haven't, you know, they're just literally going on donations of when people happen. So, I'm basically paying them a over the odds to rent the place. But then we're doing, you know, there'll be things going on at the time that I'll give 50% of the money to. So they'll do well out of this, and that's the key thing. And I only remembered the other day that Noel actually did a Q&A there, didn't he, a few years back?
Yeah.
I did something.
Yeah.
I've that's all for that stuff. I'm
away from it now because I get asked the same fucking questions all the time. And it's the worst question is, I know I'm not supposed to ask this, but why are you fucking asking me? And then it's like, you know, the inevitable question. To answer the question, I've got a fucking clue.
Yeah, totally forgot about that. So it's a venue that needs help, and if I can break even and give some some other, let's call them not just Korn fans, other Sadaks like us, a chance to look at things that will bore the life out of band members, but we quite enjoy looking at and harking back on. And great. I think it'll be good. I just got to every single thing I do, go right, make sure I'm not upsetting more. Make sure I'm not going to end up in prison. Make sure I'm not going to end up in court. Scary.
But it's all worth it.
Anybody watching this, it's all for a love of the brand, brand, the band, and the fans. I think that's the best way of putting it.
Absolutely. That's awesome, mate. Well, look, I won't keep you too long, because I know you've got a million things to do, but anything else you want to let us know? Any other nuggets you've got for us?
I went to the Liam and John Squire gig, actually. That was quite... Have you been to any of those shows?
No, I didn't. I tried to get tickets, and I also tried to get a copy of the album early, which is great, because I've never got anything like that from Fear PR before. But actually, it was Debbie's sister sorted me out, which was great. And I did try and blag a freebie, but then didn't happen. There's just so much emphasis on print media. If you work for a magazine, even if it sells 3 copies, you're fine. Yeah, a podcast with lots of the listeners, nothing. But yeah, no, I didn't get to see them. Where did you see them?
John in Glasgow. I obviously had tickets. I would like to have seen him in my hometown in Manchester, but it was booked the same weekend that Noel was playing TCT. So I saw him in Glasgow. I mean, I've just on Fear PR there, you mentioned I've sneakily. I want to have a chat with Debbie, hopefully, and I'm going to drop her an email when the promo video is done and see if she's also okay with the exhibition. Imagine Liam turned up. Imagine how good that would be. Won't happen, but you never know. I'll be honest about the gigs in Glasgow. It was an event, you know, the John Squire and Liam gig. It was an event because it was the first one of the tour, and the Barrowlands is an absolute stormer of a venue. And Glaswegians are just, when there's a gig on, it's different. You know what I mean? It bounces, and the Barrowlands bounces anyway. It's the floor, isn't it? But it was really good, and that was my first kind of out. Obviously, we've not mentioned on this podcast, but I had to have my eye totally removed last month through cancer after effects, hence wearing the glasses. So that was my first kind of outing. I think I was out of hospital a week and a half before. I shouldn't have gone. I really should have gone. But you just can't miss these things. You know what I mean? I thought, pop an eye patch on, stop moaning, and go and enjoy it. And that's. And I'm glad I did, because it was very. It was good. It was good. And the album is a real grower. The first half of the gig especially was, you know, they played the 4 best songs on the album first, I think. So it was a real good start to the gig. But we had a good meet up with all the lads in the Glasgow and surrounding areas. Went for a few beers across the road first, and afterwards it was good. I think that's the good thing about gigs these days. The amount of people that come on their own, you know, totally on their own, that probably wouldn't have gone before, because you know they can go to a pub that gets posted online and there's 40 of us all there. I think it's good to do that. So, yeah, I think there was about 30 people there for that gig. It was good. It was good.
That's great.
I managed to get a signed copy of the album the other day. I should have brought it down. So, I didn't meet them myself, but I managed to get a signed by Liam and John copy. Oh, and I got this as well. Tell you what I've done.
Go on, man.
Signed by Squire. I bought the scratch plate off somebody that met him somewhere. And then obviously the Stone Roses, his Roses. Squire strategy had, it's all wrecked up and roughed up. I'm going to get the old disc sander out later on and just rough it up and make it look proper old school. You know, I'm having that, it's cool. That. I thought I'll have a bit of that. But it's, I think you've probably seen most of the stuff in the room, really. Have you seen this?
No, I haven't seen that one, mate. That's very smart.
Everybody
remember that.
Yeah, and as a City fan, this was really cool. It was a very, it came up and, it's actually a limited edition shirt. I never realised until it landed. It's not a shirt that you could buy. It's like an old training shirt. It must have been a competition winner or something back in the day, because it was obviously signed by these of the time. And then since then, adding Whitey and Bonehead. That was the hardest thing about it, getting Bonehead to sign it. 10 minutes of chatting. Come on, please. I can't. I'm on a mess in Coastal Wolf. Thank God for that. But there's the famous flag. that was up there. At the exhibition, I'm looking to do tables like these, you know, ticket tables. So people will be able to, there'll be 2 of these basically, that because this is all piled on top of each other. This could be spread over 3 tables comfortably. So I'll probably do 2 or 3 era tables, and then have one that's this is a desk as well, you know, that has a table that people could sit at or stand at. Completely covered up, of course.
I'm trying to avoid all the boxes there that need to be sorted out. I've done all the cabinet again recently. It's quite a few new additions there. That's off the like off the cover of Definitely Maybe. One of the mic cables there. I think you've seen most of the other stuff really. Yeah. Oh, that recently, the little record player from B&L. Don't see many of them about.
Okay, then good to catch up anyway.
Bittersweethome.co.uk, that's the place to be.
Bittersweethome.co.uk, and then just add yourself to the mail list. That's the way to get things. You know, I'm going to be doing a few bits and pieces soon, but yeah, there's a massive stock upload of stuff that I've been meaning to put on. I'll put that on as soon as, but yeah, that's the way forward.
All right, nice one, Carl. Great to speak to you, mate. Catch you soon.
All good, mate. Take care. Cheers.
Okay, thank you very much to Kyle. Always great to catch up with Kyle, top man. And yeah, look out for the big announcement for the Oasis Experience coming up. Really excited to check that out. I should be there. And then I think the plan is maybe to do one in London later in the year as well. And then maybe Scotland as well. So watch this space. Really excited about those. And yeah, and look out for other events coming up as well. That event we had at Rockfield was absolutely amazing, and like I said, I did get to hear those tracks, which was incredible. So yeah, do keep an eye out on Bittersweet Home and carry on listening to the podcast, and any of these sort of cool things that come up, we will let you know about them. Right, so next up we have the ranking. So just to clarify, this is based on your votes on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. So what I did is I put out a series of tweets asking to rank all the albums, and I got you guys to vote. What I did this time, I normally say sort of out of five, like, but obviously the annoying thing about Twitter is you only have four options. So I normally go 2, 3, 4, and 5. This time I said A, B, C, D, or lower. So it kind of just sort of shifts things around a little bit, I think, if you think about it like that. But yeah, so we had a loads and loads of responses on this, which was always fantastic to see. And so we have our rankings, we have our gradings. Now I'm going to do a follow up on this, giving my own personal grading, and I think we're going to do that with James Hargreaves as well, which would be really good to get his. And then yeah, it's always good to catch up with James, and then you know, cause it goes on his channel as well, which is fantastic. But for now, let's talk about what you guys thought. So like I said earlier, this was really triggered by the fact that Liam Gallagher, John Squire just came out, and I was seeing lots of kind of negativity about it, to be honest. And I was thinking, I wonder where this fits, like, in the ranking of them all. Is this the worst album, or is this people's least favourite album that any of the guys have released? So here we are. Let's run through and do a ranking based on your scores of every studio album released by Liam and Noel Gallagher. So it's studio albums, so we're not including live albums, we're not including kind of random bits that Liam has done, like the acoustic sessions and things like that. No, this is just the proper studio albums. So in last place, in 17th, we have, well, let's just say in the bottom two places, we have the bottom two are both the BDI albums. And funnily enough, they got exactly the same average score. They got an average score of 3.24 out of five. So a grade, I'm giving that as a C. So they got literally the same score. So what I did is I did a poll just to say for you guys which one you think is the best. And coming out slightly ahead was Different Gear, Still Speeding, the first BDI album. So the second BDI album, BE, is the worst, is officially the worst Gallagher album. So that feels a little bit harsh to me. We'll see when obviously we come to my ranking where I put them. I've always sort of held the BDI albums in similar regard, although I do find them very different. I think that Different Gear, Still Speeding tends to have a lot of, it feels like it's sort of the tunes that were left over from Oasis, written by the guys, which is, because what it was. And it seems like pretty rushed, knocked out, simple chord structures, simple production, just get the album out. But there is some really, really good songs on there. Whereas then when you get to B, It feels a little bit more complex, a little bit more interesting in the production. Liam's vocal style is very interesting. He's sort of a lot more whispery and calmer in a lot of the songs. So I think it's definitely a different style album, but maybe doesn't quite have as good core songs as the first one. So it's really a toss-up of what you prefer, and which comes through here because they've both come out with exactly the same score. But in 17th, we have B, and in 16th, we have Different Gear, Still Speeding. So at 3.24, I'm giving that a C on average. Sweet sound of dawn, the shadows painted, and the light he saw. The way I see it now so clear, like diamonds on the water. Better with me and you, better with yourself. This morning I was laid out flat on the dark side, with the moon in the room on the wrong side. I took a needle, saw myself right back at the seams. I saw my universal gleam. Okay, next up in 15th, we have Liam Gallagher, John Squire. So, yeah, so I wasn't sure if it would come in lower than the BDI albums, but it has actually come in just ahead of it. 3.39 out of 5. So I'm giving that a C+. I'm sort of giving between 3.25 and 3.5 a C+, I think is fair. So Liam Gallagher, John Squire comes in there. I think that's fair, to be honest. I think it's a 3 out of 5. I first listened to it and was a bit disappointed. Then I listened to it a bit more and did really get into it. But then since then, to be honest, I've not really had a huge desire to go back to it. So I think a 3 out of 5 feels right to me. There's not a huge amount of songs that really jump out as being special. I think a lot of it is just good and solid. So I'd say it's a good, solid album. But, you know, who knows? With time, it may go up or down, in my opinion. The sun is up, the sky's in blue, and I know how close we came. This voyage of self-discovery has my sails in flames. Here comes the feeling, here it comes again. I'm waiting for this star. So that is 15th. In 14th place, we have Come On You Know, Liam Gallagher's most recent album, with 3.46. So I'm giving that a C+ as well, because it's just below 3.5. I thought it was interesting. I think when it came out, it's sort of similar, I suppose, to Liam Gallagher and John Squire. It did divide opinion when it came out. But yeah, I think it's sort of, it's not one that's kind of held the test of time, I think. So seeing as it is sort of, you know, not scoring that well here, which is quite interesting. But yeah, I think looking back on it, I think it's a really strong album. I think it is a very strange album. I think there's a lot of quite quirky songs in there. I mean, the one that always springs to mind is More Power with the children's choir. I mean, that's such a strange way to start the album, to just start like that. You don't need to go, wow, okay, what's all that about? But then, you know, there is some really good tunes on there. You've got Diamond in the Dark, Don't Go Halfway is probably my favourite. You know, Too Good for Giving Up is a great ballad. Moscow Rules, I think, is fantastic. I'm Free is very weird. You know, and then you've got like singles like Better Days and Everything's Electric. So, you know, it is a really good and strong album. I think maybe it's just not kind of at that next level that maybe people wanted from a third Liam Gallagher album. And I suppose it is sort of law of diminishing returns that people are like, oh, it's another Liam album. Maybe the first one had that sort of novelty value. Second one, people were like, you know, still excited. And it's like, oh, it's another one, you know. So you always have that, I suppose, unless you come out with something really, really exceptional. So, yeah. So Liam Gallagher, Come On You Know, is there at 3.46 or a C+. Get up. Stand up if you feel alive. I only want to see you smile. Come on, you know. Beautiful people. Okay, in 13th, I found this very interesting. We have our first Oasis album. We have Dig Out Your Soul. Now, I was really shocked by this because, you know, normally I was expecting, to be honest, some solo stuff to be lower down and all the Oasis stuff to be at the top. And also then Dig Out Your Soul as well. I mean, normally it's sort of Heathen Chemistry that tends to come lowest in Oasis rankings. So the fact that Dig Out Your Soul's come lower, I found very interesting. I think it's ultimately an album of two halves. I think you've got the first half being stacked with some great songs on there, like Falling Down and Bag It Up and Shock of Lightning. I think when you get into the second half of the album, there's a few plodders in there, like Soldier On and Get Off Your High Horse Lady. Sort of it drops down a little bit, and I think that's what sort of probably is disappointing. I think that the great moments are probably greater than some of the other albums on this list. But yeah, maybe the not as good moments are, you know, are worse. So it's an album of extremes. But yeah, I was surprised. At 3.58, I would have had it a lot higher than that. But there you go. So I'm giving that, because it's over 3.5, I'm giving that 8B-. Okay, in 12th place, it's another Oasis album. It is Heathen Chemistry, which gets 3.62. So I'm also giving that a B-. This one, for me, I typically choose as the lowest in my rankings. Not to say I think it's a good album. I do really like it. I just think that the overall level of songs just dropped off. You know, just dropped off from definitely where we would be here now. Stand on the Shoulder had some really great moments. I just don't think Heathen Chemistry was at that level again. You know, too many sort of just middle of the road, sort of 6 or 7 out of 10 songs for me. And not enough, like, you know, real special songs. Stuff like The Hindu Times is great. And, you know, things like Hunting a Bad Place is good fun. Songbird's a nice song. You know, I know Stop Crying Your Heart Out, some people really love it. I think it's good, but not great. You know, but then you've also got stuff like Probably All in the Mind, you know, which is okay. Quick Peep is pretty throwaway. Sheer's Love is one of my least favourite Oasis songs. So Born in a Different Cloud is really good, really weird and interesting. So yeah, it's just not that strong an album. So I would have definitely had it below Dig Out Your Soul. But yeah, obviously you guys have put it a little bit higher than that. So yeah, in 12th place, we have another Oasis album. We have Heathen Chemistry. Okay, into 11th, and we have our first Noel Gallagher High Flying Birds album, which is, can you guess, it is Who Built the Moon. That didn't surprise me. I did think it would probably be his lowest rated album because it's probably the most sort of divisive of the other three. Yeah, I know at the time when it came out, there's a lot of chat about cosmic pop and Noel turning away from what made him popular and all this sort of stuff. I don't think it was helped by the fact that the interviews he was sort of doing at the time. And, you know, and then also sort of when it came out, it was very much head to head with Liam, who was making much more fan friendly music versus Noel, who was making much more quirky music. Plus also, you know, what he went on to do afterwards as well, like the fact that he then went on to do like Black Star Dancing and things like that, the, you know, sort of much more poppier and less kind of traditional Noel style music afterwards. Personally, I really like it. I love tracks like Keep On Reaching, Holy Mountain, Black and White Sunshine, If Love Is the Law. I think there's some great songs on there. Obviously, Dead in the Water being sort of that closing track. No, it's like a bonus track. What does that mean? But I suppose you sort of include it on here. I suppose the only thing for me that sort of brings it down a little bit is, you know, there's not a huge amount of songs on there. And then you've got two sort of, you know, you've got end credits and interludes. So, you know, they sort of, they're both lovely, but ultimately, you know, we maybe could have done with a couple more songs on there. But yeah, so Who Built the Moon is, I think, is a really good album. But I'm surprised because it was so divisive when it came out. And I know that a lot of people don't tend to rate it as highly. But you rated it higher than two Oasis albums and obviously two Liam solo and two BDI albums. So yeah, Who Built the Moon has done very well. Right, into our top 10 now, and we have in 10th place Standing on the Shoulder of Giants, another Oasis album, scoring 3.86 and a B. Oh, I don't think I mentioned, I give Who Built the Moon got 3.75. I'm giving that a B as well. I'm saying 3.75 to 4 is a B. So Standing on the Shoulder of Giants, 3.86, a B. Like I said, I think this is sort of probably similar in a way to Dig Out Your Soul, in that it's sort of quite a different album with different sounds throughout it, and some great moments, some real high moments like Fucking in the Bushes, Roll It Over, Go Let It Out, things like that, but then sort of some that aren't quite as strong, like, you know, Put Your Money Where Your Mouth Is and I Can See a Liar. I know some people like them, but Sunday Morning Call and Where Did It All Go Wrong, I don't think are that strong. So I can understand that it's another one that, rather than just being consistent, has got sort of ups and downs. So I can, it's sort of always hard to sort of rate those sort of albums because, you know, you're like, well, half of it's a four and half of it's a two. So do you kind of go four or do you go three? Or, you know, it's really tricky. But anyway, yeah, I think it's a really special one. It's the last one that I sort of really loved and hammered before I kind of started going off Oasis in the 2000s, to be honest. So yeah, it always holds a special place in my heart. But yeah, 3.86 and a B. Okay, 3.89 and a B for the next album in 9th place. And it's another Oasis album. It's Don't Believe the Truth. Now, this was seen as a return to form after Heathen Chemistry. But still here, you guys have got it below two Liam albums and three Noel Gallagher High Flying Birds albums. Wow. So, yeah, Don't Believe the Truth scores 3.89, which I'm calling a B. And Yeah, it's for me, it's a really good one. I think it's sort of, it is definitely, it was a step forward from Heathen Chemistry. Personally, I probably prefer Dig Out Your Soul to Don't Believe the Truth. I think Don't Believe the Truth has got a lot of stronger songs on it. I think the likes of Turn Up the Sun, Importance of Being Idle, I really like Part of the Queue. But then there are some tracks on there that I'm not as bothered by, you know, that I don't think are as strong. There's a quite a few sort of, you know, non-Noel written songs on here, like Love Like a Bomb, Guess God Thinks I'm Able, that aren't quite as strong. And yeah, and although it's sort of, you know, it's a bit of an epic one, Let There Be Love never really did it for me, to be honest. So yeah, I think it's a strong album without being an absolute stomper. But yeah, I think it's very good. But it's interesting that, yeah, it's only in ninth, and solo stuff is above it. What do you think about that? Into eighth place. Okay, in eighth place, and we have Liam Gallagher, Why Me, Why Not. So Liam's second studio album has scored 3.9 out of 5, which I'm calling a B. And yeah, I was surprised to see it above Oasis. I mean, this, I think, is probably my favourite Liam Gallagher album. I think that the first one sort of felt like a bit of a collection of the songs that Liam had left over, for better or worse, because, you know, I don't think they're necessarily as strong songs, but then I think there's a really specialness to them because, you know, they are his songs and they're kind of from the heart. I know there's a couple in there that are sort of written by other people, like Paper Crown, you know, Liam doesn't have a co-write on, but yeah, the majority of them Liam either wrote or co-wrote. Whereas then when we get to Why Me, Why Not, I think that, you know, he still was the credited writer on a number of tracks, but it feels to me like, okay, he is now, okay, he's run out of that sort of, you know, glut of songs that he had left over, and he's pretty much handed it over then to the writers. And so you've got the likes of Andrew Wyatt appearing on so many of the tracks, Simon Aldred, Greg Kirsten, Adam Noble. There's a number of writers on here, and this is his, like, his team of writers, as he talked about at the time. And yeah, and it was and it's a triumph. It's a great album. Like I've talked about on here, I don't care if Liam never writes a song. If he sings great songs, that is absolutely fine by me. And, you know, look at this. I actually listened, you know, doing a re-listen of all these albums, and I was really taken aback by how strong this album is. You know, Shockwave, One of Us, Once, Now That I Found You, Halo, Why Me, Why Not, Be Still, All Right Now, Meadow, The River, Gone. I mean, that's the key album. And then you go bonus tracks, Invisible Sun, Misunderstood, Glimmer. I mean, that's a really, really strong set of songs. And the ones that I'd say are probably not quite as strong songs are the likes of Halo, All Right Now, Be Still. Well, they're bangers, or they're really exciting, or they're catchy, or so it's not like the where you've got weaker songs and they're boring, or the weaker songs and they're just a bit plodding or whatever. The weaker songs are still like really upbeat or really catchy and just enjoyable. So overall, it's just a really enjoyable album, and especially that first half. I mean, Shockwave, One of Us, Once, Now That I Found You, that is just banger after banger. So very, very impressive album. Maybe Liam's best for me. I'll confirm that when by the time we do my ranking. But you guys had it at number 8.
Oh,
Okay, up to number 7 now, and we have another Noel Gallagher High Flying Birds album. We have Council Skies. So Council Skies scored 4.07. So we're into the first albums that scored a 4 and above average. So I'm calling that a B plus. Anything from 4 up to 4.25, I'm calling a B plus. So Council Skies gets 4.07. This is obviously the new album from Noel that came out last year. And yeah, and I really enjoyed it. I think the one thing that sort of annoyed me about it at the time was sort of too many of the tracks had been released. So by the time we actually got to hear it, it did sort of feel like, okay, well, I've already kind of heard most of it. And I was only hearing another 3 or 4 tunes by the time it was, you know, officially released. But obviously, as time goes on, that's sort of not as much of an issue now. I suppose the only difference with that is that I sort of forget, well, which ones are on that album and which ones are, you know, not album tracks, officially album tracks, because you've got something like Trying to Find the World That's Been and Gone that I've known for years, you know, because it came out. You've got We're Going to Get There in the End. I've known that for years. But yeah, they are officially tracks on this album, which don't really feel like they are, you know. But yeah, I think the key thing, the MVP on this album is the brass. The brass is fantastic. You know, having done that sort of those Abbey Road sessions, and it was great that they kind of leaked a few of those bits of the recording, because I think they're fantastic and they really add, especially when you think about a track like We're Going to Get There in the End. When we heard it in the demo version without that, then you suddenly you hear that brass and it really adds so much to it. I suppose this will probably be looked back on as Noel's divorce album, which I think you can really, really comes through in a few of the tracks. Like Think of a Number is probably the most obvious one, and I find that the really, really powerful. Dead to the World as well. Those two are probably my favourite songs on it. I don't think there's any real duff tracks on it. I think, as I said to me, I mean, Pretty Boy I could probably take or leave. I think it's just more that, yeah, that kind of disappointment of like, oh, all right, it's only a few new tracks and a lot of stuff we knew because they'd been re-released or pre-album singles and things like that. So, but yeah, really strong album. And obviously you guys are still loving it because it's come up as number 7 at 4.07 out of 5, B plus. Okay, just ahead of it, we have Liam's top-rated solo album. As You Were gets 4.11, which is a B+. So I think this is really interesting. So we now can look at the rating of Liam's albums. So if I could really wanted to crank out content, I could do a different Liam Gallagher ranking and a Noel Gallagher ranking and BE ranking. But yeah, so Liam Gallagher's albums are ranks as follows then. Liam Gallagher, John Squire last, Come On You Know third, Why Me, Why Not second, and As You Were first. So if you think about it, it's actually diminishing returns. It's basically saying they get worse over time. As You Were 4.11, Why Me, Why Not 3.90, Come On You Know 3.46, and Liam Gallagher, John Squire 3.39. So that's interesting. You know, do we think that they're getting worse over time? Personally, I don't. Because like I said, I think that Why Me, Why Not is stronger than As You Were. So I don't necessarily think they're getting worse. Maybe it's just that people, like we're saying, sort of diminishing returns, people less excited because it's new stuff from Liam. But I don't know. But yeah, it's quite interesting to think about it like that, that they are kind of going backwards, really. But yeah, anyway, look, here we are. As You Were is there, 4.11 B+. Yeah, and it was a bit of a special moment when it came out, really. Like, you know, I sort of didn't know how it would be received. You know, BDI wasn't received too well at all. And then suddenly Liam's back, but he was a massive star again that we were just not expecting at all. You know, we'd had the tracks like Wall of Glass and Chinatown and things like that that came out before the album to really give us a feel for what it would be. And like I said earlier, it is very much, this is like an acoustic album. You know, this is like Liam's acoustically written songs that he wrote primarily himself. Stuff like When I'm in Need and Universal Gleam and Bold that he clearly wrote. And, you know, and he's just sort of, there's a lot of strong acoustic guitar throughout it. And it's then got that like really clean, poppy kind of production. But yeah, it's very much a sort of an acoustic-y album. Even tracks like Greedy Soul, you would think would really, and I Get By, you know, that you really think, oh, that's quite punky. It needs to be like snarling guitars, but it's just quite acoustic driven. You know, it's quite bizarre, but you know, that was obviously what they were going for at the time. But yeah, but look, I do really like it. I think it's a really strong selection of songs, especially things like, you know, Paper Crown for me is my favourite on the album. I think that's a really, really special song. Come Back to Me, I think is great. It's got like a real Charlatans-y vibe. And then For What It's Worth, something like that. That's just a really brilliant kind of, you know, Beatles song in the, you know, with the like Hey Jude, Let It Be sort of style, which I just think is excellent. So there is some really good stuff on there. Personally, I'd have it slightly lower, but yeah, you guys obviously love it. It's in sixth, 4.11 B+. Right, into the top five now, and we have a Noel Gallagher album. We have Chasing Yesterday. It scored 4.16, which was also a B+. And yeah, so this is Noel's second solo album, and it's one that yeah, I suppose it pales in comparison to the first album, I suppose, because the first album caused such a stir, had loads and loads of great songs on it. Whereas Chasing Yesterday has still got loads of great songs in it, but it's got stuff like, it's just stuff that's a bit more chilled out. You've got like River Man, you've got The Right Stuff, you've got The Mexican. So you've got things that are not necessarily huge, big singles. But then you do have like The Dying of the Light, In the Heat of the Moment. So there's some big singles on, you know, there's some big tracks on there, but yeah, Ballad of the Mighty Eye to finish the album is a great, great track. And you've got the bonus tracks as well, Do the Damage, Revolution Song, Freaky Teeth. So there is, you know, there's a lot of really good stuff on there. But I suppose it's sort of like, you know, it was the not as good version of NGHFB. Whereas then when you get into like Who Built the Moon, he's going off and doing something very different. So I suppose it's sort of, it's just probably pales a little bit in comparison to the first one. But look, you guys love it. You've put it ahead of a few Oasis albums and stuff. So it's there. It's at fifth, at 4.16 B+. Okay, we've got quite a jump now into the top four. So the next one is scoring 4.53. So anything above 4.5, I'm giving an A. So in fourth place, would you reckon? It is Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds, the debut album. And so once again, we now have the Noel Gallagher ranking, which goes Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds in first, Chasing Yesterday in second, Council Skies in third, Who Built the Moon in fourth, which I think is fair, and I do very much understand. I know Who Built the Moon is that bit more divisive for people, Would I put it that way? Probably. I might put Council Skies above Chasing Yesterday, I think. But yeah, anyway, Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds. So we don't have that sort of same thing about, you know, them all just dropping off like we've got with Liam, because, you know, we've got, obviously we do that for one and two, but then the fact that number four is ahead of number three. So yeah, maybe he's on a streak again. He's going to come back. But yeah, so in fourth place, Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds. And it is a really great album. Obviously, what we've got here is a lot of songs that were there for the next Oasis album. And so, yeah, so it was always going to be good because, you know, he had all the Oasis stuff and he had, you know, a bunch of Oasis related people around to play on it. So, you know, and you've got some great songs. I mean, listen to how it starts. Everybody's on the Run, Dream On, If I Had a Gun, Death of You and Me, I Want to Live a Dream in My Record Machine, which is an Oasis song. Let's just keep going. AKA What a Life, Soldier Boys and Jesus Freaks, Broken Arrow, Stranding on the Wrong Beach, Stop the Clocks. I mean, that is it's only 10 songs, but that is a phenomenal run. I suppose it falls off a little bit. Stop the Clocks always has that air of disappointment for me because we'd heard about it for years. It was like the best song he'd ever written. And then when we heard it, it was like, oh, is that it? Okay. Stranded on the Wrong Beach, I'm not a huge fan of. Soldier Boys and Jesus Freaks, I think is brilliant. I think it's like Noel Gallagher does the Kinks. But yeah, great mix of songs. Brilliantly produced. Loads of brass in there. Once again, like more brass. But it's the different brass, I think. This is more sort of, you know, that sort of funky kind of brass band stuff. I'm thinking of like The Death of You and Me, like that, the way that it's sort of like New Orleans type brass or whatever. I don't really know what I'm on about, but you know what I mean. So yeah, so no, really good album. But yeah, fourth, 4.53 out of five. So I'm giving that an A. Anything over 4.5 is getting an A. Right, next up in third place, so we've got three left, and if you're keeping track, it's three Oasis albums, as you might have expected. And so in third place, what's it going to be? It is Be Here Now, 4.55, so I'm giving that an A. So I'm giving an A to anything between 4.5 and 4.75. So 4.55, it's Be Here Now. And yeah, I think it's great. I think it's fair to be not as high as the other two, to be honest. Like I've often said, when I rank Oasis albums, it's really, really hard because I kind of think, you know, Definitely Maybe is the coolest. What's Storm Running Glory is probably the best, but then Be Here Now is probably my favourite. So, you know, just because what it means to me, the style of the songs and the production and everything, I love Be Here Now. So yeah, so it's a really special one for me. I think that from top to bottom, the tracks are great, but maybe not sort of just at that level that they were with Definitely Maybe in Morning Glory. So I understand why it's sort of not quite as high as those two. But yeah, an absolutely fantastic album. Absolutely love it. And it sits in third at 4.55. Why do you need a reason for to feel happy or shining for the rest of your shit together, girl. You've got a feeling lost in... So I think we knew that these two were going to be second and first, didn't we? But which one is second and which one is first? I can tell you it was extremely close. We have second place scored 4.93 out of 5, which I'm giving an A star. And first place got 4.95 out of 5, which was once again an A star. So pretty much everyone just gave an A to, or a 5 out of 5. So, which is in second and which is in first? In second place, we have What's the Story, Morning Glory, with 4.93, meaning definitely maybe takes it at 4.95. So, yeah, once again, a victory for Definitely Maybe, which I think is it's understandable. And I think that maybe with the Definitely Maybe tour coming up, that sort of, you know, making people excited about the album again. Yeah, we'll see what happens next year. If there's sort of Morning Glory celebrations, would that then push that one slightly ahead? But no, I think it is obviously, we've talked about these two albums to death over the years, but comparing the two, for me, what you've got with Definitely Maybe is just a real straightforward, stripped down album with, you know, pretty much just the five of them playing all the way through, a couple of little bits of extra, like, you know, acoustic guitar on Married with Children, Bonehead's piano on Diggsy's Dinner. But other than that, it's just an indie album. It's an indie rock album. Whereas then once you get to Morning Glory, you've got tracks like She's Electric that are a lot more kind of Beatlesy and bouncy. You've got, you know, it just sort of mixes it up a little bit. Obviously, it goes a little bit more mainstream sounding, which, you know, which is fine, which is no problem at all. But it's just what you prefer, you know. And I suppose it's hard to vote Definitely Maybe down because everyone knows how legendary it is. So even if Morning Glory is your favourite, you're probably not going to give Definitely Maybe a B or a 4 out of 5. You're always going to give it a 5 out of 5 because, you know, it's got Live Forever, it's got Slide Away, it's got Cigarettes and Alcohol. It is just an absolute stomper of an album. But yeah, but then does it quite have that same song quality of Morning Glory? Well, I suppose it does, if you think about those ones I've just named. So yeah, both remarkable albums, both fantastic. Both get A stars for me and by you guys, 4.93. So it's just 0.02% that just put them ahead. But yeah, Definitely Maybe takes it in our 2024 album ranking. So just to clarify, 17th place, BE, 16th, Different Gear, Still Speeding, 15th, Liam Gallagher, John Squire, 14th, Come On You Know, 13th, Dig Out Your Soul, 12th, Heathen Chemistry, 11th, Who Built the Moon, 10th, Standing on the Shoulder of Giants, 9th, Don't Believe the Truth, 8th, Why Me, Why Not, 7th, Council Skies, 6th, As You Were, 5th, Chasing Yesterday, 4th, Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds, 3rd, Be Here Now, 2nd, What's the Story in Running Glory, and number 1, Definitely Maybe. So there we go. Well done for listening and getting through all that. As I said, if you want more, then I'll be back to do the same thing with James Hargreaves, probably very shortly. So yeah. So what do you think? Do you want to give me your rankings? Do you want to share them in the comments if you're on YouTube, or drop them over on Twitter or on email? Then I'd love to hear from you. That'll do it for today. Thank you very much for listening. Most of all, thanks go to our patrons. You put your money where your mouth is, and it's greatly appreciated. I didn't mention it at the start, actually, so I'm recording this on the 6th of April, which is the 7th anniversary of the Oasis podcast. So it came out on the 6th of April, 2017. So, yes, I did a big sort of talking about the history a couple of episodes ago when I did 250. So I'm not going to bang on about that now. But just to say thank you, everyone who's listened over the last 7 years. It's been a crazy sort of thing to choose to do with my life. Didn't think it would be such a big part of it, but hey, that's what it's ended up being. And I couldn't be happier. So yeah, so very excited about that. 7 years, seven years gone. How many more to go? What do you reckon? Anyway, thank you to everyone who's listened. Do please follow on Twitter at Oasis Podcast. Do feel free to email me, oasispod@gmail.com, if you have any comments or thoughts, or if you send over audio messages, then I might play them. If you want to drop over new music, that's gone a bit quiet, feel free to drop over new music if you'd like. I haven't mentioned it on here, I don't think, but I've mentioned it. I mentioned it in the episode 250 because I showed a copy, but Brits and Pieces has done really well. They've got into the charts again. Volume 4 has got to number 74 in the charts. So well done, Mark. Well done, everyone on Brits and Pieces. You are officially chart acts. And that will do it. Thank you very much for listening. Stay in touch, stay engaged, and stay young.